Hi, welcome to Sobriety Uncensored, episode 16. This is Jenna, and I'm here with Daniel.
Hey, hey.
We're wrapping up the month of January, 2023.
Yeah. 16 is a significant number for me because it's the year I had my first drink. When I was 16 years old. Yeah. I had a 40 of Pabst Blue Ribbon.
PBR, baby.
Yeah. And
you had a 40 of it all by yourself.
Yeah. And I remember thinking, how do people do this?
Mm.
I went up to visit my brother at college, and that's only like three beers and some change, right? Mm-hmm. 40 ounces, 36. Yeah. It's like three beers and a third of a beer, mm-hmm. which later in life was amuse-bouche, you know, come on. But I was up in Oregon where my brother went to college, and they were getting ready to go out, and they were going to bring me with them, and they were drinking 40s, and my brother hands me a 40 of Pabst Blue Ribbon, which is low alcohol percentage, high shame. And I'm drinking it, and I'm starting to get the like, and I remember thinking, how do people do this? How do people drink and function?
Hmm.
And that's such a funny memory to me, because now on the flip side, you know, when I was at the end of my drinking career, I remember thinking, how do people do this without drinking?
Mm-hmm.
Such a weird, where now I laugh like 3.5 beers, like, fuck you, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And then I was like, this is 40 ounces,
yeah.
Just like the Sublime song. Oh my God. Like, where are my puka shells?
Yeah, well, it's crazy how your perspective on things change. Your perspectives change with life experience and age and all that good stuff. And I don't think any of us go into our alcoholic habits or even our first drink thinking anything but, wow, this, I don't know how, you know, I think a lot of people probably think that.
Yeah. And one thing we talked on the last episode about you not being on Instagram, and she won't be, so just drop it, people. But I get a lot of feedback. It's much easier to message on Instagram than TikTok. So they send me messages, and a lot of it is one of the biggest takeaways from this podcast, I think, from a lot of my, what I'll call them, like, normie friends who are just listening because they know me and they support it.
Mm-hmm.
I never realized you could become an alcoholic later in life.
Mm.
And I think that's so funny, because I feel like I know a lot of people who became alcoholics later in life.
Yeah,
and I don't know where,
company included.
Yeah. And I don't know where, from your experience, because I talk about, you know, from college on, it was a progressive disease for me. It became, mm-hmm. I rode the social acceptability wave, mm-hmm. and then would hide the difference. I was caged the difference, if that makes sense. So mm-hmm. whatever was socially acceptable, minus however many drinks I needed, equaled how many I had. Right. Mm-hmm. And the gap number was like what I would hide and drink secretly. But I for sure was aware I had a problem early on, versus we've talked a lot about your story and growing into that relationship and the toxic boyfriend,
mm-hmm.
you know, like a Taylor Swift song. Like, it started out good, and then then he's fucking, you know, doing something. So I think it's funny to me that people think that. What is your perception of that reaction?
Well, I think that speaks a lot to stereotypes and and stigma, you know, associated with alcoholism. Like it had to have been a problem. If you're an alcoholic, you've always, you know, you must have always had a problem with alcohol then. Well, no, not necessarily, you know, and it's so unexpected. When I've talked about before, I did see red flags along the way throughout my young adulthood and, you know, 10 years leading up to like really kind of popping off in my like mid 40s.
Yeah.
And thankfully I didn't survive for long, emotionally, mostly mentally and emotionally, I didn't survive for long in active addiction. I mean, it was only Probably I have to go back and do the math, but I say like maybe 4 to 5 years max, mm-hmm. where I was really like, it was definitely alcoholism, but it wasn't right. like one day I wasn't. And then I suddenly was, and then that was my behavior for the following 5 years. Like you said, it's progressive.
Yeah.
And then,
grew into it.
Yeah. I grew into it, but mine was like on the fast track. Like I was right. RN to BSN, you know what I mean? Like I was yeah. going the fast track to taking classes in the summer and shit with my yeah. alcoholism.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it was once it really started, then it progressed quickly from there. And like I said, that's a, although it's not typical, I don't think it's that uncommon. And it is surprising for some people to hear that, because it's not, you know, it's stereotypes and it's the stigma.
Mm-hmm. How much do you think it plays into denial? So my reaction to that statement is not based on the person who's telling me, but just in general, is that, again, going back to the whole resume accomplishment, nuclear family, all of the bullshit, that you aren't an alcoholic if you are doing X, Y, and Z and accomplishing right. X, Y, and Z. So that's actually yeah. not it's not a problem unless it's a problem, right? It's yeah. so subjective. Like even when I posted about drinking white wine on I'll Never Live It Down on New Year's Day or New Year's Eve, you know, they said that one person said, and I made a response video kindly, just that doesn't sound like it was enough for you to actually have a problem.
Yeah, I hate that shit.
I'm like, well,
people say stuff like that.
But if we just, you know, you work in healthcare, what is the actual medical definition? Isn't it like more than 3 drinks a night, or what is it?
I have no idea. And this is what I have to say to that D-bag. Hey, buddy, you don't know me. You don't know what's a problem for me. I don't care what the fucking medical definition of alcoholism is. You know what I mean? If right. I have one drink a night and it's a problem for me, then I have a problem. We don't define it by quantity.
Right.
You know, their dude up the street could drink a case of beer a night and be just fine with it. And it doesn't have any awful, unhealthy behaviors. I mean, he may be hurting himself physically,
right?
But and okay, to you and I, we may theoretically define him as a functional alcoholic, but if his life and family and work and everything that matters to him is all good and he doesn't mm-hmm. see a problem with his intake, then he doesn't see a problem with it. Like it's a very self-defined thing.
Right.
You know, and I'm sorry, I got a little harsh with your follower. I called him a D-bag. I'm really sorry.
That's okay.
The Philly girl coming out. I always take my mouth a little too far, but that's part of my charm. at least that's what I tell myself.
That's what you said.
Sidebar. I had someone unfollow me and tell me that they were unfollowing me because I say fuck too often.
Oh, yeah. I like that.
Okay.
Thank you for letting
fucking
me know.
Bye. Yeah.
I know. I've had, you know, people like, are you trying to prove something?
Oh my God. So judgy.
By swearing. And yeah. I'm like, no, I'm not.
Not even a little bit.
I just go with it. If it feels right, I
yeah.
just say it. Natural. It's one of my favorite words,
yeah,
to be honest.
Why not? Anyway, to the dude down the street with a case of beer, like I don't, that's the problem that a lot of people run into with either for themselves, they say, I only have a glass of wine a night. Does that mean I have a problem? And I post about this too on TikTok. Or, you know, I that's not up to me. I know people always want me to do
a quick hot take. Yeah. Hey, yeah. I have this and this and that. Do you think right. I'm an alcoholic? First of all, I think it's a trap. I think you're yeah. just trying to like trap right. me so you can like sober explain me. But also, I have no idea.
Right. I'm not
anything
an expert
about your life. No.
In you or alcoholism.
Correct.
So do your research and you figure your shit out. There is a questionnaire according to like the American Psychological Association or some right. shit where you can, and you, I didn't need that shit. I was therapy shopping once and yeah. one of the women that I went to literally handed me this questionnaire and said, I'd like you to fill this out. Cause I said, I think I drink a little too much, blah, blah, blah. Well, I've answered yes to everything. And she was like, okay, you are an alcoholic. And I was like, and you are not going to be my therapist because this is not okay. Like the way you're approaching this, it was way too textbook old school for my style. But yeah, I think, for someone to call you out on drinking white wine and saying you doesn't sound like
you had a problem.
Yeah. Like whatever, bro.
It was a good discussion though, to talk about the subjectivity of it all, which is so important to remember. It's just what's a problem to you. And that's also where it causes a lot of, I think, conflict and strife within relationships, either friendships, romantic or otherwise, where the person using, AKA me, because I was so obsessed with alcohol and dependent on it, and I only wanted to see the good parts of it, right? I had such a short-term memory loss problem as it related to anything negative that happened with my drinking. So to the guy with a case of beer down the street, yeah, if like everyone in their ecosystem, including him, is not noticing a problem, is not noticing a change in relationship, affect, productivity, any of it, presence, I think you're good. But I was very, it took me, people around me in my family, my wife mostly, you know, identified, she could identify where it was causing more mischief than I was willing to admit. So sometimes that subjectivity can be a defense mechanism, at least that I used. Well, it's not affecting me. It's not affecting me as I like scroll through all the shit I've accomplished or whatever. I'm still getting up and going to work and I'm still this. So it is a slippery slope, but I hate it when people ask me to define for them. If it's a problem.
I can't do that for you.
If I could, I would be on a yacht right now.
Exactly. And I did search for relatability, you know, and we've talked about this before when we were in the contemplation phase, and we just looked for, like, I wanted to find a lady in her 40s, you know, that was working hard and killing it at life, but still had a drinking problem. I wanted to find someone like me, you know, I was desperate for that. And I think sometimes that's the origin of that, you know, well, I have this much per day. Does that mean I'm an alcoholic? I think people are maybe phrasing that for validation in some instances versus us wanting to be diagnosed.
I just said comparison, comparing.
You said comparison.
Comparison.
Wait, I love my nephew made up a word, satisfaction.
Oh yeah.
Said it was like satisfaction, but like cranked up a notch. Satisfaction. Yeah, like, now I try to use it as regularly as I can.
I can't speak. Cannot speak. But I also think that some of those like three drinks a day again are part of like the social, greater social societal enabling of it's not that problem. Because where do I find research that shows me that I can have three cigarettes a day? And you can. Are you having more than three Camels a day? No, I'm just done on my 2.5 and then I move on, you know. No one asks you that, like such a random question. It's all bullshit. Plus nobody ever tells the truth on those things.
No,
at least never. I didn't. Never.
No.
Do you drink more than three drinks a day? No.
Never.
Fingers crossed.
So what I'd like to bring something up that we were talking about before we started recording. Things being so individual is a really important point that we constantly try to drill into people's minds. You know, your problem is relative. You know, your drinking problem is relative. Your everything about your road to recovery is relative, as is the way you treat what I call slip ups or fuck ups or slips. So slips. You were making a comparison earlier. Remind me what you were saying.
Well, as we're wrapping up a dry January, which is, you know, a really good cover and really trendy. So it's an easy way for people to take a break with low pressure. And you don't realize how long 31 days is until you don't drink for 31 days in a row. And you're like, holy shit, this is a really long time. And a lot of the feedback I've been getting, either from people in my little Dry January group or just in life, is they might have gone 20 plus days in this month, 25 days out of 31, let's say the ratio, whatever average that is, that they didn't drink. And they're so fixated on the 6 days that they did drink. But right. I encourage people to look at it like a staircase. You know, you're climbing out of the staircase of daily drinking. And you climb 7 stairs and you drink. So you take a step down. Mm-hmm. And then you go up a few more stairs and down another stair, and so on and so forth. You're still making progress. And I think failure is a word that gets tossed around a lot, where I like to redirect that focus. Are you failing? In my opinion, when it comes to quitting alcohol, which was a long fucking journey for me and is a daily focus of me to maintain, failure exists in the pockets of time when you just aren't trying anything at all. So from watching TikTok, to listening to podcasts, to reading Quitlet, to going 4 days when your longest was only 3, mm-hmm. all of those opportunities to learn about yourself and your triggers and why you're drinking, those are not failures. Those are successes, mm-hmm. right? And mm-hmm. and for me, the longer I went with those when I was landing the plane the last 4 years, and I would go on these 7-day, 10-day, 7-day, 10-day, and I would drink. Every time I drank, I learned more about why I was drinking. It reminded me why I didn't want to do it. Yes, was I stuck in that pattern for a long time? Mm-hmm. I was, but at least I wasn't just like, well, fuck it. I can't do this. So I'm just going to go back to drinking every single moment. Mm-hmm. You know, I was kind of climbing out of the basement, if you will, versus I think the daily drinking is more of just a hamster wheel. You're not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. So, but it's yeah. like that little drunk ego will be like, fine, we can't quit. I'm just going to swim in vodka.
Yeah. I'll show you
how drunk we're going to get for the next 3 months.
So I think that this can be looked at from a couple different perspectives, right? So if you're looking at someone is doing Dry January because they truly, some people do Dry January for a reset. Beginning of the year, they've been really hitting it hard through the holidays. They're feeling gross and puffy and bloated and worthless.
Right.
That got a little heavy, but you know what I mean? Yeah. And these could be non-out people that have healthy relationships with alcohol, but they just kind of want to reset. It's like doing a cleanse, right?
Right.
And then you have those of us who are straight up alcoholics, but do Dry January for the wrong reasons, which is what I experienced, which is to prove to myself that I'm not an alcoholic. Mm-hmm. I gave up alcohol for a full month. And then February 1, you know, got right back into it. And then there are those, I said 2, but I changed my mind. I'm saying 3. So then there are those that really, truly want to make a life change and are concerned with their future, like when you quit 8 years ago, right?
Right.
And yeah. So your initial thought on quitting was, I really just clearly can't do this anymore. This cannot be for me anymore. And I'm going to try this and see how it goes. And it happened to be good timing, as in New Year's, right?
Yeah. And it was just, you know, I think I had multiple moments of clarity throughout the last several years of my drinking. And this is one that I decided to listen to. It right. scared me enough to just be like, okay. And it was a push I needed. And I get a lot of shit for this. People have big feelings about this because I put a calendar up on my wall and I was marking out right. every day, and I was fixated mm-hmm. on the days because that's how hard it was for me to get mm-hmm. through the month. I needed to visually see it so that I could mm-hmm. just think through each moment. I don't know why. I'm stubborn. I'm competitive. Mm-hmm. And I was really just saying, okay, I'm just going to stop long enough to know the difference. I've never given myself an opportunity to stop to know the difference. And then when I got to the end of the month, I felt like it wasn't long enough. It wasn't a fair shake. I was, mm-hmm. as much as I wanted to drink, I was horrified by starting over a little bit because I had never made it to 31 days. The right. most I had ever gotten to was 16 days one time, 11 days another time. Mm-hmm. I was in the 5 to 10 cycle of drinking if 10 days, if I had taken 10 days off, I had like the bronchitis or something, but
right.
You know, I got the bronchitis. I'm on antibiotics, but even then it was like, well, I could probably still drink.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I just think it started as an experiment. I call it the great experiment. I was sober curiosity mm-hmm. at some point. Can't just be wondering what it's like to not drink. I think sober curiosity to be a real thing, you have to experience sobriety.
Right.
And get curious about
sobriety.
Yeah. Correct.
Experience sobriety, not just.
Yeah. Because I used to enable myself by being like, well, I'm working on it because I'm mm-hmm. in therapy. I'm working on it because I think a lot about not drinking when I'm drunk. I'm right. working on it because I Google how to quit drinking, but I haven't actually tried to stop. I haven't actually gotten curious about what would my mental health be like, physical health, my relationships, yeah. all of that. And there, what does Yoda say? There's no try, there's only do.
Yeah.
Star Wars reference. So I think if you're stuck in that sober curiosity phase of it's just living between your ears in your brain, trying right. to give it a little application. But I was overwhelmed by forever. I was overwhelmed by right. one more month, you know, so I just took it incrementally.
I have to say, Daniel, I'm hearing your story more than once. I'm really surprised that you had the perspective of, I'm going to just keep going and see how it goes. Like, in under your circumstances and having been an alcoholic for, you know, what, how long, 20 years, something
yeah,
like that?
Basically.
Not even
19, yeah.
19 years. And having only gone, you know, a max of 16 days or so, mm-hmm. I think that that's a really unusual for someone with your background to just be like, I think yeah. it'd be more typical for someone in your circumstances to say, okay, February 1st, look how great I did. Like, I feel like it would have taken more, but it's
yeah,
really
I was,
interesting that you were kind of like, all right, I'm going to just keep going with this.
Well, what happened was, and I agree, I think it's in a very unusual anecdotal story, and it just happens to have fallen on the 1st of January mm-hmm. with no intention, no forethought. Like I said,
right.
I didn't go to bed thinking like, okay, I quit tomorrow. Every time I had ever attempted to schedule a quit date, I would find a way to self-sabotage that date. Mm-hmm. But what manifested for me was, and this is hard to hear for some people, is one fantasy I had was that as soon as I quit drinking, my mental health is going to get better. And I would argue, not argue, I would say for facts, my mental health got worse. Mm-hmm. I had some of my biggest anxiety attacks, panic attacks, all of it in that first month of not drinking.
Right.
So I was working with my therapist and psychiatrist and my doctor, and I didn't want to feel that anxiety ever again. And something in me just knew or was horrified that if I took a drink, it was going to make that anxiety even worse.
Right.
So I just truly had to be like, I didn't make a big announcement. I just like February 1st came and I just didn't drink. And I just marked another X, you know, and I think I kept a 90 day. I have it. I have the calendar somewhere here. 90 days.
Cool.
I kept them. Yeah. They're like 90, maybe 90. Maybe I think I might've done it for 90 days where I every single day I marked an X. And then I would start to like write other things on the calendar, like when I went to therapy or if I exercised or, you know, I started mm-hmm. to like have a metric of what, and then I just felt not great. Like life wasn't like perfect, but I just was like, okay, I've been drinking for 16 years or something,
right.
or 19 years. Like I can do 6 months and see what it's like. So yeah.
Right.
And then now when I think about it, I think about it in forever. And some people don't like to do that. And I respect that. But for me, I have to think about it like it's no longer an option.
Right.
Like it was what you say. It's not an option. It'd be fun. It's not an option.
Yeah. Right.
Because I don't want to spend my brain power ruminating on that. I'd rather use it to do something creative or binge watch a show or I don't know, take a nap.
Well, and I think there's nothing wrong with being absolute about something. Like, I know one day at a time is a really popular concept, and sometimes I have to cling to that, and I have to remind myself of that when I'm having a particularly itchy day or cravings day. You know, forever seems quite daunting, mm-hmm. but generally speaking, when I'm having a normal day, when alcohol is not in the forefront of my mind, which is happening more and more frequently, thank goodness.
Yeah.
I want, like you're saying, I want to think about this for life. I want that absolute line. But I think some of the problem that we run into, back to your stairs versus mm-hmm. hamster wheel. It can sound daunting, and it can sound like a failure if your goal is forever,
right?
And you have a slip. It's very easy to be hard on yourself and say, fuck, like, if I want to do this forever and I'm already screwing up 3 weeks into dry January, mm-hmm. you know, like, I understand why some people may have that perspective of, well, this isn't, I'm not going to be able to do this, or I'm a failure. I really screwed this up. And I agree with you in the concept of the slip ups being an opportunity to learn. But I think that only really applies to people that are serious about pursuing a life of sobriety. So I wasn't serious about it for a very long time. And I would quit drinking. I would give up alcohol, but not, and we talked about this, you know, not change anything else about life except for giving up the booze. Right. And that was a very half-assed attempt at doing something healthy for my life, but not really being serious about it. And I did that several times. And the only thing I really learned was that I was living as a dry drunk during that time, that right. I did have to make a conscious effort to change almost everything about my life if I was serious about being someone living a life of sobriety, not just someone who didn't drink.
Right.
And when people are doing dry January and they don't get through, or they decide on February 1st that, you know, I did it, I succeeded with dry January now, but then they drink and then they beat themselves up. You know what I mean? It's this very back and forth. It's self-sabotage and it's self-abuse when people do that to themselves. And they'll comment on my TikTok, you know, back to day one with like the frowny face emoji or whatever.
And, right. Yeah.
You know, and that's okay. But it's a slippery slope when you say that's okay. And it's okay, you fucked up, you're learning from it. But how many times are we going to give ourselves a pass? Correct. Like, let's also be realistic and think, okay, are you learning, or are you only doing this because you're going to give yourself, oh, well, I fucked up because this or that, and I'm going to get back because, you know, relapse is part of recovery, blah, blah, blah. You know,
I agree with you. It's like you can very easily use that to enable yourself.
Right.
And my philosophy is the most dangerous day as it relates to a slip is not the day of the slip, it's the next day.
Mm.
Because for me, if I went 10 days or 7 days and then I slipped, that could easily have turned into a several week permission slip to drink.
Right.
And I do challenge people who notice themselves in the same cycle. And that's where I was forever, right? Like mm-hmm. for 4 years, I was like, oh, and then I would just kind of give myself an excuse, or it's okay.
And it's okay.
And that is when I had that moment of clarity in January where I was just like, you know what? I don't know. I'm not mm-hmm. making an informed decision. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it's like to be an adult. I literally have no idea what it's like to be an adult, a husband, a father, a principal, a friend, a son, any of it without drinking.
Mm.
And so how many times am I going to say, oh, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. But mm-hmm. On TikTok, I'm very encouraging when people have to start over. And I'm like, you know, what's that saying? Like, I would rather you have a day one than just, oh, one day I'll stop, you know. Mm-hmm. But I do encourage people to journal when you write, like who, what, where, when, how, why. Maybe it's the English teacher in me, like, who were you with? Where were you? Why did you feel inspired to drink? When was it? You know, how did you do it? And look for patterns, like truly take the time to audit the slip, the mistake, and look for mm-hmm. patterns. Because mm-hmm. if you're always with the same people, or if it's always in isolation, or it's always the same reason, mm-hmm. the best defense is a good offense. And to your point, that's where you have to change your lifestyle. Mm-hmm. You have to step out. Like I had to step out of a certain, like my French friends I've talked, like my bar friends, my French friends, my sports mm-hmm. friends, the people, I had to step away.
Yeah.
If I wanted to get past that fucking hamster wheel mm-hmm. and climb the staircase.
Do you feel like deep down inside you knew that this wasn't going to be serious? Like when you would go 16 days or 10 days or whatever, did you know, I'm going to be drinking again? Like yeah. deep down inside. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I think so too.
And I would look forward to it.
Yeah.
I would look forward to it. And I remember being, and I don't think this is a bad thing, but when I look back on it now, it's really overwhelming. I mean, like I talk about, we went to brunch with friends the other weekend and half of them were drinking, half of them weren't. And we're in a legitimate like bar setting. Never once in that moment, in that 2-hour window, did I look at anyone's drink with jealousy? Did I feel mm-hmm. like, oh, that would be fun? Like I didn't give a fuck. I didn't really quite frankly notice it, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
But in my drinking days, if I had gone through a brunch without drinking, I would have thought like I won the fucking Olympics. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And right. that would have been a reward to then get drunk. Mm-hmm. So my danger was always if I would survive the high ticket item without drinking, I would usually get drunk after by myself or the next day by myself.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But yeah,
as your reward.
As my reward. Mm-hmm. And that was a lot of denial to myself. Like, oh, I don't have a problem. I just took a week off.
Right.
But I remember telling my wife one time, like, oh yeah, she was kind of confronting me about my drinking. And I'm like, well, I didn't drink Tuesday, Wednesday. She's like, Daniel.
Yeah.
Like what the fuck? Like yeah. you didn't drink on a Tuesday and a Wednesday in a row. And you want a congratulations.
Yeah.
Like, no.
And that speaks so much about like her perspective as a, what we would call a normie versus yeah. an alcoholic. Like she could never wrap her brain around that. And that doesn't minimize the fact that you were an alcoholic that went 2 days without drinking. That yeah. is a big deal.
It was a lot
of alcoholics, yes. you know? And, but in her defense, she is not equipped to no. process that as a normal drinker. So like, and I think a lot of couples run into that problem, you know, where you don't understand each other. You can't relate to each other. You know, you try right. to express something. I mean, in her defense, you were looking to reward yourself, but you know.
But even the validation from others is a really important sticking point for a lot of people. Because if I am a person with a healthy relationship with alcohol, I'm not going to reward you or validate you or compliment you for not drinking during a time when it's not an appropriate time to drink.
Right.
But yeah. the alcoholic in me is like, hey, haven't you noticed hey. I didn't drink on yeah. a Tuesday or Wednesday?
Yeah, yeah.
Because I was so proud of myself.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's so fucked. And that's yeah. so it's so hard. So yeah. hard. And this is not shaming people who are on that, you know, 3 days on, 1 day off, 3 days on, 1 day off. I'm just encouraging you, if you feel like you're stuck in that pattern, as I was, consciously stuck in a pattern. Mm-hmm. I was in that pattern for years without giving a right. shit. But once I flipped the consciousness of like, okay, I don't like this pattern anymore, really, but mm-hmm. I kept doing it, really auditing or examining your slips, who, what, mm-hmm. where, when, how, why, write it right. down, make yourself stop and write it down and then keep it. And the next time you do it, do the same thing. And I want you to see if there's any crossover there. Mm-hmm. And that will help guide you where you need to be making changes in your lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. As long as you're honest with yourself.
Right? As long as you're honest with yourself. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And honesty with self is a real bitch.
we're the last ones. We're going to be, we lie to ourselves all the time.
Yeah. Just get one of those, like my daughter for the holidays got a diary, like a combo lock on it, but like an industrial one, you know, yeah. So she can
love it.
Get yourself one of those.
Yeah.
Know, so nobody can see your shit. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. I always put all my stuff in my, typed it into my, in like a password protected document on my computer.
Yeah. It's great.
Yeah.
But I think the getting it out of your head and onto some sort of paper in self-reflection, paper being like you typing it or whatever, detainment. I always say that. I know it's annoying. I apologize, but it was only when I started really confronting the patterns that I could extend the times between the slips and eventually reached that mezzanine level that I didn't know when I would arrive to it. I actually got to it unexpectedly. I fucking fell over a step and landed on it, you know, like, oh, yeah, I guess I'm here in Norm's Diner. What the fuck?
Yeah.
You know, but the only way I was able to get that was through a progression of continued and heightened awareness and trying to be honest with myself. Even when down to the bitter end, I was still not honest with other people.
Mm. Yeah, same.
And then they wonder why it was so hard. And I'd be like,
because I've been lying for years.
Yeah, because I've been lying to you for God knows how long.
Yeah. Do you think back? Sometimes I think back, like as right now, as we're talking about like a slip one day and then you're good for 5, 6 days and then you slip, and just the effort and energy, the emotional energy that it took to maintain, like to try to maintain and then to fuck up and then beat yourself up and then try to learn and then you go back to it, like to have to do that on playback over and over and over again. If I had only had a level of acceptance and surrender where I could have said to myself, and I say this to people sometimes, like this can be your last day one.
Right.
And if I had only accepted that, I mean, I know the what if game is bullshit, but I could have saved myself a lot of heartache if I had accepted that the misery associated with those first few days. I mean, it is an intense time when you first give up booze, you know, you're purely in survival mode.
Correct.
And you just do everything you can. I mean, just keeping your head on straight is a win. So
correct.
And if you're doing that over and over and over consecutively, it's exhausting. And if people could just accept that that's going to be some misery for a little bit, but it does improve and you do, you know, you grow and you gain strength bullshit. Like
it's misery. It's a misery with an expiration date. Right.
Right.
But drinking is misery with like a Twinkie. It can last forever.
Exactly. Yeah. But you know what? I'm hearing myself talk and I'm thinking, you know what? People said that shit to you and you didn't buy it till So it's like, not that it's wasted breath, but I'm just reflecting on my own road and just thinking, man, it took me so long to stop doing that.
I was emotionally exhausted. I think more than anything, my mental health broke me. That repetition that you just described so well and so painfully well, only fed my anxiety and my depression. It just made it worse and worse, compounding. I don't know. I just couldn't hang. I could not handle it. It broke me into at least trying to change, not just to not drink, but trying to change.
Right.
And there's a difference there that I didn't accept, realize, or activate for years.
Right. Well, I think that's the problem for most of us.
Mm-hmm. But I know funny. Some of the things that we talk about, even I find myself talking on TikTok and I'm being like to myself in my head, I'm like, Daniel, fuck you. Like, you know, like Daniel would be so irritated with you right now.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Well, the lightness, I just had such a heavy, I thought I was light. You know what's, you know, like I thought I was light. I thought drinking Jenna was so light. Everything was so light and so easy, you know, and it was so fucking heavy. Yeah. Looking back as a sober person and just the 180 of when you're talking about anxiety and depression and just that heaviness that I refer to it as a shroud that like, yeah, that's just like over you, you're under there, but it's just this heavy shroud that's just weighing mm-hmm. you down. You don't realize it in the moment, but everything's so heavy until you start coming through that and just starting to feel the lightness. It's such an amazing feeling. I'm getting a little bit cheesy here, but
it's just it's true. But it's just to reiterate as we finish January, if you've done a dry January, if it's been successful or not, just be careful how you define that, those right. metrics of success. Yeah. And also you don't need a specific reason, season, or date to stop Absolutely. Fighting. People right. say like, how did you beat alcohol? I didn't beat it. I stopped mm-hmm. fighting it. It fucking mm-hmm. won. Mm-hmm. It won. Take your wow. trophy and get.
I love that. Yes.
You know, I didn't beat mm-hmm. it. I just accepted that I was not ever going to be able to beat alcohol. Right. It won. Mm-hmm. Go on with yourself. Bad vodka. You little
yeah. I tapped out, waved to the yeah. white flag.
Yep. And
I'm out.
Yeah. And I think it's important to remember, and you reminded the audience already, sometimes people want to have everything change at once. Mm. And right. whereas that first month or so for me, just not drinking mm. was its own animal. Mm-hmm. There was no way I was going to layer in like clean eating and juicing right. and yeah, running a that. 5K.
Yes. You know,
like,
yeah, no.
So you can fucking have your room transformation later, but like right now, just keep the yeah. main thing, which is keep that goddamn straw out of your mouth, unless mm-hmm. it's picking up a little sparkling water.
And you know what's funny, Daniel, for a lot of us, those healthy lifestyle choices were incorporated. Like I made all those choices while I was an alcoholic. I yeah. did eat right and exercise, you know, right. all that was part of my life in active alcoholism. So right. yeah, just, you don't need to figure anything heavy out in the beginning. Like right. you said, just put the straw down or yes. the box or yeah. the fucking funnel or whatever you're using.
Unduct tape it down. Yeah. from your fucking stomach.
Your bladder, the wine bladder. Your
room temp, body temp, Pinot Grigio.
What? Oh my God, too good.
I think a sparkling water company needs to come out with like the same concept of a boxed wine.
Somehow. Could we box sparkling water though?
I don't know. Someone's
maybe
gotta,
like, how about like the party ball, but seltzer? Yeah. You know what I'm
yeah.
saying?
Yeah. And someone's got
carbonation.
Can someone work on that?
Yeah, I know. Can you sponsor us too while you're at it?
Yeah. And we'll fucking make that shit blow up. But people, what my wife bought me once one of those things that makes where you can make your homemade sparkling water.
Busy.
And
yeah.
Yeah. And I broke that shit in like a week because nice. I just abused it. It's not meant for, like, they should have one that's just a normal grade and one that's yeah. like an alcoholic, like industrial. Right. Oh, right. like buy this one for an alcoholic and buy this one for like your Aunt Nancy.
Yeah. The because, person getting sober in your life needs this version. Yeah, it's like the size like, of your hot water heater.
Yeah. It's like fucking keep it in your garage. I would spend some serious coin on that for sure.
There's our $1 million idea.
Or just one of those restaurant things where they have the gun, you know?
Yeah, the fizzy gun. They were gun. Great. Mm-hmm.
See, it is possible. All right.
What's that?
It is possible, someone. Get on it.
Get on that, you smarties.
All right. We'll catch you next week. And for a brand new February edition.
Feb.
Ooh, talk of romance. All right. See ya. All right.